Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how all of us want to look well in the summertime in our bathing suits without using too much cover-up, but how do we achieve this? Not long ago, I interviewed Emily Bowler, who wrote a book entitled Starved to Obesity, and she lost 100 pounds in a year. She did this with the help of Dr. Joel Fuhrman, utilizing his book Eat to Live. And tonight is my pleasure to talk with Dr. Joel Fuhrman about how to lose weight and overcome addiction to food. And my guest this evening is Dr. Joel Fuhrman, a board-certified family physician specializing in nutritional medicine. He's also the president of the Nutritional Research Foundation and a six-time New York Times bestselling author. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Joel Fuhrman to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Dr. Fuhrman.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And how did you get involved in this work, Dr. Fuhrman?
Well, you know, when I was young, about 40 years ago, I was in the United States World Figure Skating Team. I was a pair skater. I was third in the world in pairs figure skating in 1976. I was interested in nutrition then for better conditioning, stamina, not getting sick. And my father was overweight and sickly, and we both started reading health and nutrition books in my teenage years. The time I, you know, moved out of my skating career, I was passionate about that nutritional excellence can therapeutically save lives, stop the heart attack epidemic, win the war on cancer, and change the trajectory of healthcare in America. And this was 40 years ago. And I met my wife, started dating my wife back then, or, you know, I just decided to drop my family's business and just go back to medical school and be a physician specializing in nutritional medicine. And it's been an incredibly rewarding and satisfying career because there's so many thousands and thousands of people whose lives have been transformed, like Emily Bowler, who've gotten rid of their heart disease, reversed their diabetes, got off their blood pressure medications, made full recoveries from asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, and a host of other diseases, and showing that nutrition is more powerful than drugs, and it frees people with the opportunity to have a normal and healthy life and not be tied down to tragedy and sickness and disease while they struggle to live with these problems that are a result of eating the standard American diet, which is simply deadly and disgusting.
How does one, I know that I discovered many years ago that I was an addict and found that as we know about alcohol addiction, we know about drug addiction, but not everybody is aware of food addiction. Would you say that's accurate?
I'd say that's 100% accurate. And right now we have the vast majority of Americans are overweight. Why are people eating themselves to a premature grave? Fat on the body is dangerous. It produces cytokines that activate aromatase, which means that you're producing more estrogen. An overweight woman could have 10 times the estrogen stimulation of breast tissue than a person who's not overweight. It makes you insulin resistant. It drives angiogenesis, which means the promotion of growth of tissue to allow cancer to develop. I mean, why are people eating themselves to death? Why have no other animal in nature is overweight? And in human history, we have overweight people like this. We know that the processed food, the growth of the processed food industry over the last 50 years has made an incredible spike and explosion in heart disease and cancer, obesity, and these foods are designed to be addicting. They're frankenfoods. They're designed to attract people to have them eat more of them. And the American diet is eating 60% of their caloric intake comes from processed foods and about 30% from animal products. and we're only eating 2% of calories from vegetables in America. Well, I always say we couldn't design a better diet if it has been prepared by Al-Qaeda or ISIS to kill us. You know, it's the most crazy way to eat, and we're suffering for it with growing sicknesses. And while that's going on, we have scientific advancements in nutritional science has showed us that we don't have to have cancer, heart disease, strokes, and dementia, and we can live to be 100 years old in great health if we eat very, very healthfully. And that's what I do for a living. And when your question about food addiction, yes, if you live on American food, almost all Americans become overweight and addicted to it. It means if they try to change and eat healthfully, they're not so happy about that. They don't feel so well trying to eat healthfully, and they're driven to try to stimulate the brain with dopamine by these calorically concentrated foods that rush into the bloodstream very rapidly, like sugar and oil. And there's concentrated calories. Your body craves these concentrated calories. We've done so many tests on animals and on humans showing that when you eat these processed foods, it drives higher caloric intake, and people lose control of their appetite control. You know, they can't control their appetite. They become calorie-consuming monsters when they're nutritionally deficient and when they're eating foodless and processed foods.
Well, let's talk about your nutritional program and how this is counter to the American diet and how it can help to change the lives of the people who follow your program. And by the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And my guest this evening is Dr. Joel Fuhrman, a board-certified family physician, six-time New York Times best-selling author, and he's written a very special book called Eat to Live. So let's talk about the positive ways that your program can impact on a person who's willing to try it.
Right. Well, this program is about eating larger amounts of high-nutrient anti-cancer foods, particularly foods I call G-bombs. The word G-B-O-M-B-S, G-bombs, stands for greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. Each one of these foods, when consumed regularly, individually lowers cancer rates, individually encourages the growth of good bacteria in the gut that slow the glucose coming through the gut. In other words, they reduce weight loss. Every one of these foods is health-promoting. But when you put together a dietary portfolio that includes all these foods simultaneously, they work synergistically to heighten the immune system's protection against cancer and make our body repair broken DNA and methylation defects and inhibit genetic defects from being expressed. So we can really make the body resistant to cancer, prevent inflammation, not develop strokes and heart attacks and dementia from the diet that has a lot of these potential foods. So I call it a nutritarian diet because it's rich in nutrients. It's very nutrient dense, particularly with a lot of green vegetables in it, because I want people to eat a big salad every day and then to make a bowl of vegetable bean soup or a stew or a chili and have the beans and onions and mushrooms and cooked greens in there too, and to have three fresh fruits a day. In other words, I give people the dietary model. I show them how they can make it taste great. They're flooding their body with nutrients. And the principle here has to do with that when you eat a diet with such a degree of micronutrient excellence, and the word micronutrients refers to not just vitamins and minerals, but that full spectrum of phytonutrients and colorful plants. When you achieve this degree of micronutrient excellence with a high degree of fiber, it naturally suppresses your appetite. You don't want to eat much food anymore. You want to eat the right amount of calories for your body, and you automatically gravitate towards a healthy weight. And of course, there's a period of time in the first few weeks where you're feeling shaky and weak and headachy and anxiety, uncomfortable. You're going through withdrawal. You know, as Emily Bowler said, her title of the book was Starved to Obesity, meaning that when you don't have enough nutrients in your body, you build up metabolic toxins, right, and free radicals. And when you try to stop eating, you feel so shaky and weak and ill that you have to keep the food coming in all the time. What she was saying, what she learned from me, is that when you can't control your apostat when you don't eat a diet that's healthy. You have to get the healthy foods into you, and then you can control your caloric drive much better. So what I'm saying right now is people can calorically restrict comfortably to eat the amount of calories they require, but they don't desire more calories than they require when they've achieved this degree of nutritional excellence. And their taste, and then with time, with weeks going by, their taste buds improve from getting off all that sugary stuff. Their body gets back the ability to taste sugar that's much stronger, so a strawberry tastes better and a cashew nut and lettuce has flavor now, and simple foods have more impact to your taste buds. And when we prepare these foods, people can eat them with the gratitude and intellectual awareness that these foods are life-giving and they're aesthetically pleasing and they're taste-pleasing. And the way we've prepared them and flavored them, and you know, it just makes people so they're so appreciative of what they've gotten from this earth to protect their precious health and not putting mindless, dangerous foods in their body. And when you eat donuts and cookies and burgers and pizza and soda and rice cakes and breakfast bars and chips and soft drinks, and you eat this stuff, it's the same as snorting cocaine to a degree. You're eating addictive substances that are degrading your health and shortening your life with every bite. It's not benign. When you're eating a bagel and cookies and pretzels and pizza and potato chips, you are destroying your potential for a long, happy life. You're not giving yourself, it's not just taking a mindless pleasure. It's not just about cosmetic looking good at the beach. It's about destroying your brain with foods that cause depression, that cause dysthymia, and they cause dementia. When you get old, you're going to be demented for that.
Dr. Furman, I want to ask you, is there, and does age have anything to do with the ability to lose weight?
Does what?
Does age, your age, and we're going to talk
age.
About, yes, uh-huh.
No, your age really has nothing to do with it.
So it doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 65 or 18 or 85, it doesn't make any difference in the ability of the body to process and help you maintain a stable weight?
No, except some people, women as they go through menopause and get older, they may have their metabolism may slow down a little bit where they need less calories. But that's not harder to lose weight. It's just they're not going to be as hungry. And if they'll eat when they're hungry and not eat when they're not hungry, they'll be fine. And they'll cook. The longest-lived people around the world are people who maintain their high school and college weight for the rest of their life and not yo-yo up and down. It's completely unnatural to put 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds on your body as you get older. You should be the same. A woman should weigh, you know, most women between, 5'2 and 5'6. Weigh between 105 and 120 pounds.
Well,
they should not be 140 and 180 pounds. They should be the same weight they were in high school and college. And most men between 5'7 and 6 should be between 140 and 170 pounds. They should not be 200, 300, 250 pounds.
Dr. Furman, from your mouth to God's ears, and we're going to talk more about your Nutritarian diet when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening, I'm talking with Dr. Joel Furman, a board-certified family physician, six-time New York Times bestselling author, and internationally recognized expert on nutrition and natural healing. And he has written among many books, but the one that my previous guest, Emily Bowler, who wrote the book Starve to Obesity, used was Eat to Live. It is a pleasure to talk with Dr. Joel Furman about how to lose weight and overcome addiction. And Dr. Furman, tell us, is it
What makes it difficult for older people to lose the weight that they need to lose? Is there anything to do with age?
Yeah, not much. You know, your metabolic rate may slow a little bit, but that's because you're aging slower. You know, then you have lower levels of certain hormones. So, no, the older people lose weight. I mean, we have people at our retreat right now who are in their 70s and 80s, and they drop weight. They usually lose about, it depends on how overweight they are. If they're obese, they lose about 15 pounds the first month and about 8 to 10 the second month here at, you know, at the retreat. Because they're eating 100% perfectly, and they don't, you know, if they're closer to their ideal weight, they lose weight much slower, of course. Than a, you know, they may only lose 2 pounds a week, you know, 8 pounds the first month, and then they'll slow down to 1 pound a week as they get closer to their ideal weight. But if they eat the right diet, the body is this miraculous self-healing machine. It wants to get healthy. It'll get its blood pressure back to normal. It'll bring its glucose back to normal. It'll lower its cholesterol. You'll feel better. In other words, the body will naturally fix itself, including get rid of the extra weight, if you do all the right things. It's for people who aren't losing that extra weight easily. They're doing some things wrong. I say if you're a nutritarian, you're either at a perfect weight or you're moving towards your perfect weight steadily every single week. If you're not, you're not a nutritarian, you're doing something wrong that's sabotaging your results.
You did not mention, you did not mention dairy. Is dairy a product that you ask people to avoid, or is dairy okay? I mean, talking about things like yogurt or an almond milk is not dairy, but
about dairy products and their link between like breast and prostate cancer. And they promote a hormone called IGF-1 or insulin-like growth factor 1, which now has been linked conclusively with higher rates of breast and prostate cancer. That is higher rates of IGF-1 being a cancer promoter. So we want, if a person is consuming dairy, we want them to cut back on dairy products to possibly one serving a week. You know, and animal products too should be reduced to so you're not pressing that too much animal protein, driving up these growth promoting hormones. But as we were discussing earlier, you know, one of the large saboteurs why people don't lose weight successfully is because they've been brainwashed to think that oil is a health food and that olive oil is healthy for them. And I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that oil inhibits weight loss because it's absorbed, the calories are absorbed so rapidly in the bloodstream. Like sugar, the problem with sugar and honey and maple syrup is the calories come into the bloodstream so rapidly that it spikes a heightened insulin response, and the caloric rush signals dopamine receptors in the brain to make you want to crave and eat more calories. And the same thing happens when you eat oil, because you get this rush of calories into the bloodstream so rapidly that it signals you to try to overeat and want to eat more calories. If you had sesame seeds instead of sesame oil, or walnuts instead of walnut oil, the calories would be coming into the bloodstream slowly. You wouldn't be triggering yourself to overeat. And all the fats would not be biologically absorbed because they're bound to the fibers that pass through you into this, and you get more fat in the toilet bowl from those foods. So I'm saying to you is that we're trying to make dressings and sauces and desserts. Instead of using oil, we're using the whole nut or seed, not the processed form of it. So there's a lot of reasons why people don't really understand via which extracted and processed foods lead to weight gain. And because weight gain leads to cancer, I'm saying naturally the natural consequence is the more olive oil you pour on your food, the higher your rate of cancer. As crazy as that sounds, you put more olive oil in your diet, you're going to be fatter. You're going to be fatter. You're going to have a higher risk of diseases, including breast cancer. You know, the biggest to sabotage your diet is pouring oil over everything you eat.
You mentioned earlier about dairy. Are you talking about all dairy, such as Greek yogurt, non-sweetened Greek yogurt? Is that also considered a dairy product to avoid?
Yes, it's a cow's milk product it's the protein content and the amino acid pattern that raises IGF-1. It's true that fermented dairy products is not quite as dangerous as would be like milk products, like skim milk would be worse. And I'm saying skim milk, not whole milk, because it's because when you remove the fat from the milk, you concentrate the protein of the milk even more. That's the protein content of milk that leads to higher levels of these cancer-promoting hormones. So I'm not saying that a small amount of animal product in your diet may not, you know, may be acceptable for many people. But as you have a little Greek yogurt and a little fish and a little chicken and a little of that, you wind up adding up with too much animal protein in your diet, raising IGF-1 to cancer-promoting levels. So we really want to recognize that people should be seeing those foods as foods that should be severely limited or eliminated if they really want to not have strokes or not, or really want to have protection against these cancers we're talking about.
Well, Dr. Furman, give us an, I feel we've eliminated everything. So the question is, can give us an example of what a breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner might look like following your protocol for eliminating all of these things that many people may be using? And we're thinking that we're doing the right thing.
That's right. The American diet is so far away from what people should be eating. You know, don't forget, we have a population where 40% of people dying of heart attacks and strokes and 30% dying of cancer. If you're eating the way you want to eat now, the way most Americans are eating, you're going to get what Americans get. And that's the most overweight population in the history of the human race, where everybody gets cancer and heart disease and lives their life in their later years with medical tragedies on drugs. And then you're dysthymic and you have no happiness in life because you're sick your whole time and your brain's been destroyed. So you're right. So let me answer your question. It's for breakfast. We might be having some steel-cut oats with flax seeds and wild blueberries and some orange slices or kiwis in there. So we might be a little bit of maybe an almond hemp milk. Maybe for lunch might be a big salad with a dressing made with oranges and cashews and toasted sesame seeds and blood orange vinegar and a little squeeze of lemon in there with some pomegranates or strawberries in the salad. Maybe I made a vegetable bean soup. On the weekend, and I had, I had a nice bowl of a vegetable bean soup or a chili with that, and maybe a piece of fruit. Maybe for dinner, I had a wok to mix vegetable dish with a Thai peanut hemp, sauce, with some vanilla ice cream for dessert, made with frozen bananas mixed with some macadamia nuts blended together with some real vanilla bean powder. Could have put a little. So the point is, when I'm designing right now a diet of all these rich vegetables, including all the G-bombs, if you're choosing to use animal products in your diet, you could put a little bit of something in the dinner, like a little bit of, scallops or salmon or something. It might be a small amount of animal products, but within a limited context through the week. But mostly you're eating a diet, fruits and vegetables and beans and nuts, and natural plants that humans and primates are supposed to be living on, and then our body literally becomes disease-proof. But more important than that, it enables people to get well and get off their medications and not suffer with diseases for the rest of their life. It enables people to make recoveries, too.
I hear, Dr. Furman, I didn't hear the use of any fish, such as wild salmon or anything of that sort in the program that you just mentioned in the sample. Should we watch out for fish as well as meat and chicken?
Well, I did mention that. I said that when you're using animal products, perhaps mixing in your mixed vegetable dinner or something, you're using it in a limited fashion, like a condiment or a flavoring. You're not sitting there and having a half a chicken or a big slab of fish on your plate. You're not going out to a restaurant and having the fish with a little side of vegetables on the side. You're having a main vegetable dish with a couple of, scallops mixed in or a couple of ounces of turkey or something as a flavoring. If you're using animal products, we're using it as a condiment to flavor a dish in small amounts. It doesn't become the centerpiece of the meal. We're overall limiting the animal product consumption, moving it from 30%, what most Americans are eating as a percent of total calories, to something like 5% of total calories, or certainly below 10%. All the blue zones around the world, where you have the most centenarians and the most long-lived people, always use less than 10% of calories from animal products. And every long-term study looking at hard endpoints of death show that death rates increase. That means more premature mortality and earlier deaths increase as animal product consumption goes up in people's diets. The whole key here, the secret word here, is vegetables. people hate that word, vegetable.
That's true.
You know, I'm saying we landed the man on the moon already, which means we know how to prevent cancer. The answer is vegetables. People don't like that answer. They want a magic pill they can take so they can smoke cigarettes and not get lung cancer, or eat hot dogs and pizza and donuts and bagels and not get breast cancer. But that's a fairy tale. You can't eat those foods and not get cancer. So we have to eat a diet that's predominantly vegetables if we want to be healthy.
So that's the secret. The secret is to concentrate on vegetables and use and to be very wary of using a fish or meat or that kind of a protein.
That's right. So we're talking about here the sweeteners, the processed foods, the bagels and the chips and the sweeteners, plus the oils of processed food. And then because I'm saying a piece of chicken is like a bagel, because they're both just sources of calories, and they don't have a significant micronutrient and fiber load. In other words, all the micronutrients in the colorful plants. So we don't just want to put in empty calories. As we put empty calories, the secret of a nutritarian diet is recognizing that the food we put in our mouth to prevent disease and to live ultimately 100 years old has to be have a high nutrient bang per caloric buck. Gives us a lot of nutrients per calorie. And that's why we have these natural, colorful plants and fruits and vegetables, because they contain these anti-cancer nutrients. They're flooded with them. And you're not getting them in the pasta and the bread and the oil and the meat and the candy and the honey and the maple syrup and the sweeteners and the stevia and all these things people are eating on the food. They're looking, their thinking's been like twisted by the mass marketing of the oil industry, and it's almost amazing. The most incredible advertising success is to convince the world's population that olive oil is a health food. And coconut oil, these are health foods. They're not health foods, they're fattening foods. These are processed foods.
I want to thank you, Dr. Furman, for helping us to understand that food addiction is a serious matter and that many enticing commercials on television can be deceiving. Thank you for helping us to understand that the key to successful living and eating is lots of vegetables and eliminate the meat and the...
And I think it's important that people, for more information, they can see on my website at drfurman.com that I can give them the recipes, show them how to do this, and even have the opportunity for them to come to a retreat and experience it themselves live and make it taste great.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.